Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Gusto. Gusto offers modern, easy payroll, benefits, and HR to small businesses across the country. They were even named Best Online Payroll by PC Magazine. And as a listener, you get 3 free months when you run your first payroll. Sign up and give it a try at gusto.com/creative. That's gusto.com/creative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. The ongoing struggle between creative professionals and their managers is not going away anytime soon. And it's not that both sides don't want to produce great work. And it's not that managers aren't rooting for team members and team members aren't rooting for managers. In fact, we're all in this together. And often the work that we do depends on the fact that we're rooting for each other and we're trying to bring the best out of each other. But the problem is sometimes managers are privy to some pressures that team members don't see. They're invisible to the team at large. And team members feel the pressure, but they don't know what to do about it because often those managers aren't talking about some of those dynamics that are affecting their decision-making or some of the ways that clients might be influencing their thinking that maybe team members aren't always privy to. So on this episode, I want to talk about 10 things that creative pros need from their manager and they wish that their managers knew. And this is reflective of some of what I wrote in my new book, Herding Tigers. Herding Tigers is about how to create an environment in which creative teams can thrive. It's really written to managers of creative people, but really anybody who has to collaborate with a creative team can benefit from this. So these 10 things are not in Herding Tigers, but they definitely informed the book and some of the thought process in the book. So I'm going to talk today about 10 things that creatives wish their managers knew. Before we jump into that, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Gusto. So if you have a business or if you know someone who does, you probably know that small business owners wear a lot of hats. And some of those hats are totally great, things we love to do. But some of them, like filing taxes and running payroll, for example, not so great. And that's really where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes, so you don't have to worry about it. Plus, they make it easy to add health benefits and even a 401k for your team. Those old school clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way that modern small businesses work, but Gusto is. So let them wear one of your many hats. You have better things to do as a small business owner. Listeners of the Axon Creative Podcast get 3 months free when they run their first payroll. So try a demo and see for yourself at gusto.com/creative. That's gusto.com/creative. And we thank Gusto for sponsoring this episode of the Axon Creative Podcast. All right, it is a reality that managers and team members or creative pros often speak different languages. Each has a different set of responsibilities, different perspectives, and we're each bringing those to the projects that we work on. And often the collision of these forces is enough to create massive waves within the organization. So with that in mind, I want to give you 10 things that creatives wish their managers knew. This is a list of statements that could hopefully spark some dialogue between you and your manager, or if you're a manager, hopefully this can spark some dialogue between you and the people on your team. So here they are, the 10 things that creatives wish their managers knew. Number one, you cannot separate process and product. What do I mean by this? What I mean is, you know, oftentimes we justify a messy process because it resulted in a great product. You know, at the end of the day, hey, all that matters is that we delivered what the client wanted, and as long as the client's happy, all is forgiven in the end. But the reality is that if we have to repeat that process over and over and over again, if we have to engage next time and create a product again, like we may be able to do that 2 or 3 times, but eventually an unhealthy process will catch up with you. You cannot separate process and product. A great process, given the right people are in the room, given that you've defined the problem effectively, will yield a great product, certainly. But if you create a great product at the expense of the process, then you're not going to retain people on your team. People are going to be frustrated. They're going to start looking for better horizons. They're not going to bring their best effort every day. So is there any way, if you're a manager listening, is there any way that you're compromising the process in order to yield a better product? And what are you truly compromising by doing that? Are you squeezing effort out of your team at the expense of future work? Okay, so you have to make sure that you're getting the process right, not just the product, if you want to ensure that your team will be prolific, brilliant, and healthy over the long term. So that's number one. Number two, this is going to be controversial, but I'm going to follow it up with a different principle for number three. Number two, it's not about the money. Okay, listen, most creative pros are in the business for more than the money. I mean, otherwise we'd all be attorneys or doctors or something. If it was just purely about chasing dollars, we wouldn't have chosen a creative profession. I mean, we recognize that money is necessary. We have to pay the bills. We have to pay the mortgage. We have to sustain ourselves and hopefully even learn to thrive a little bit as a creative pro. Absolutely. That's all true. But at the end of the day, money is not the primary motivator. And so when you make monetary arguments to try to motivate, it doesn't necessarily motivate. Most creative pros are motivated by the process and by the work itself, by the end result, that we're doing what we love to do, what we're wired to do. It's the way we think about the world. And so you have to understand that it's not about the money, and money is not the great motivator. So if you're running a business and you're trying to motivate people just by giving them raises, not going to work. You need to think about pay, prestige, and process. Pay is important, of course, it's the baseline. But you also have to think about prestige and process. So what are the elements of prestige that I can give to someone? Can I give them better projects, something that will elevate their profile in some way and help them achieve their career goals? Or process? Can I give them a better process, something they'll enjoy working on much more? So it's not about the money. But then principle number three is, it is about the money, okay? So organizations need to develop ways of rewarding people within their bandwidth of competence rather than promoting them beyond their level of competence. And this is what often happens. You know, you have a great designer, somebody who is really great at what they do, maybe a great writer, and we say, you know what, you're a great designer. You know what you should do? You should manage other designers. Well, managing and doing the work are very, very different skills. And so some people, because there is no way of being rewarded financially within their bandwidth of competence, they think the only way that they can get more money is by getting promoted. I have to get promoted to art director, you know, design director, art director, creative director. I have to keep climbing the ladder when I really don't want to lead other people. It's just the only way for me to get more money. Well, that's very unfortunate, because a lot of brilliant designers get pulled out of the work by getting promoted into those areas of greater responsibility. So if you lead other people, think about ways to reward people within their bandwidth of competence so that they don't feel like they have to be pushed out of that in order to be compensated effectively. All right, so that's number three. Number four, design is an ethic, not an afterthought. And this is not just design as in graphic design. This is design of any kind, right? We need to begin thinking of design as the core way that we approach our work. Our process is designed well, right? Our infrastructure within our organization is designed well. It's beautiful. There's symmetry to it. If there's not symmetry to it, at least there's rhyme to it. There's some sense of why things are the way they are. When there's a lack of design, then there tends to be a lot of dissonance within the organization because people don't understand why things are there. So design is an ethic, not an afterthought. So I encourage you to think about design as an ethic. Think about how you're approaching every decision you make as a design decision, not as a matter of simple practicality. Okay. Number five, fear is not a motivator and neither is scarcity. Listen, if you choose to motivate by fear, then you're going to have work that is reflective of fearful people. That is what you're going to get. And scarcity, same way. If you motivate with scarcity by taking things away, then you're going to get work that's reflective of scarcity. You cannot motivate people by instilling fear in them of losing something. Because if you do that, you're not going to be pushing them to take risks, to try things. Instead, they're going to become protective. It's going to be fight or flight. I need to make sure I'm protecting myself, protecting my resources, protecting my position in the organization. I'm going to throw other people under the bus. That's what happens when you motivate with fear. So listen, there is a baseline level of fear that's good in organizations. If I'm not accountable, if I don't do the work that I'm accountable for doing, I should feel like I'm going to lose my job. But that's not motivating by fear. That's just a baseline level of expectation that we set in the organization. So don't motivate by fear. And we need to communicate to our managers, if we're creatives on the team, that we cannot embrace an ethic of fear as motivation, because it doesn't work. The work suffers when fear and scarcity are the primary motivational modus operandus. Okay. Number six on our list of things that creatives wish their managers knew: we want the organization to succeed. Okay. Creative pros want their organization to succeed. We want all of the organization's objectives to be met, because you know what? That means we get to keep doing work. We get to keep doing the work that we love. We get paid. We get to pay our mortgage. We get to support our family. We want the organization to succeed. Sometimes creative pros, and I wrote about this in Herding Tigers, there are all these myths that exist about creative people. One of them is that creative people are highly difficult, that we dig our heels in, that we refuse to bend to the organizational will. And the reason isn't that we don't want the organization to succeed, it's because the organization takes our efforts, our talents, our skills for granted. So it's important that we communicate, over-communicate, that we are on board, that we're on board with the organization, we're on board with our manager, we want you to succeed. It's just that we want to make sure that our opinions, our ideas are reflected in the organization's decisions, because, not because we think we know better, but because we care deeply about the arc and the success of the organization. So that's number six. We want the organization to succeed. Number seven, we want to follow you. Please tell us where you're going. A lot of leaders, when they are uncertain, become very unclear about direction. So suddenly they become very fuzzy. They don't want to put their skin in the game, right? They don't want to put themselves on the line in case they're wrong. So they become very fuzzy about direction. People on teams want to follow you, but they need you to take the first risk by giving them clear direction. So if you're a creative on the team and you don't feel like you're getting clear direction, you need to make sure you're communicating, hey, listen, I'm on board here. I want what's best for the client, for the organization, but I need to know where you're going. I need you to give me clear direction. One of the edicts I give in Herding Tigers is be a laser, not a lighthouse, right? A lighthouse says, don't go here, don't go there. Don't go here, don't go there. It's a defensive posture, but a laser is an offensive posture. It's directional. It's precise. And that's what your team needs from you. Now, they don't need to know exactly where you're going to end up or what the outcome is going to be, but they do need to know the direction that they need to head. You need to give them bounded autonomy. All right. Number eight, we need stable ground. So client strategy must be nailed down and guarded by leadership so that the landscape isn't shifting mid-project. Creative people need stability. They need some predictable process, some predictable expectations, something that bounds their effort so that everything isn't up in the air all the time. Because if everything is up in the air, including client strategy, including resources, including timelines, then eventually they're just going to wait until you tell them what to do. That's the way it works, because they don't have enough energy to do all things all the time. So creative people need stable ground. And if you don't feel like you're getting the stability that you need, I give some suggestions in Herding Tigers about how to get that if you're a creative pro. But if you don't feel like you're getting the stability you need, have that conversation with your manager, because creative pros need stability in order to thrive. Number nine, creative pros need rhythm. These are 10 things creatives wish their managers knew. We need rhythm. We need an ebb and a flow to our process. We cannot take hill after hill after hill after hill and not expect it to be exhausted or jaded at the end of it. We need an ebb and a flow to our work rhythms. So whatever that looks like, We need to make sure that it's not pedal to the metal 24/7 for weeks at a time, because that's not the way the creative process works. The creative process has ebb and flow and peaks and troughs, and we need to embrace that and not engage in expectation escalation, which paralyzes the organization and eventually frustrates all of the talented people on the team. And then finally, number 10 of the 10 things creatives wish their managers knew, we need conversation. And perhaps a translator sometimes, right? We need to talk not just about the work, but about how the work is going. This is something that's sorely missing often on creative teams. We talk about the work, we talk about the outcomes, we talk about the objectives, we talk about the client strategy, we talk about, you know, all of the problems that are involved with the work that we're doing. We talk about how we're collaborating, but we don't talk about the process itself. We need to talk about the process. We need to be free to communicate how we feel about how the work is going. We need to feel free to communicate about how we think our relationships are going with our peers and with our managers. We need conversation. Great work happens in community. Innovation is the collective grasp for the next. It's groups of people stumbling awkwardly into the unknown together, but we have to be able to communicate in order for that to happen. So we need conversation. All right. Well, that's my list of 10 things creatives wish their managers knew. What do you think that creatives need for their managers to know? Would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your opinions. Offer them up in the collective, collective.accidentalcreative.com. That's the community where we talk about some of the shows and some of the other things that we're putting out there in the world. So go to collective.accidentalcreative.com to comment on these 10 things and to offer your own. Also, would love your feedback, your comments about this episode. interact@accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com. Subscribe to every episode at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.